Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, August 10th of 2020. And I'm here behind the green desk. Oh, excuse me. I mean, the table. That is actually Dr. Rodney Brown, who for a while was doing his awakening stuff for like 9 weeks back in mainly April and May from behind a green desk. But I was joking when I said the green desk. But so glad to have you tonight, wherever you're listening from. And my prayer is that you receive whatever it is that God has in store for you tonight. As we call this the Miracle Man because I'm the Miracle Man myself, I believe in miracles. And I believe that we can win battles, no matter how big they may be. Now, I'm going to teach tonight on David and Goliath and how God wants us to be giant killers. Now, I heard a joke about it. That I will tell later when we read it. It is funny, though. It is very funny. You'll have to wait to see what it is until later on tonight. But I have a lot to get to tonight. First of all, a bit of what I've been up to the last few days, a couple developments. First off, I have a weather thing to get to, and then we'll do the other developments, and then after the word, I've heard a report regarding football for the fall that I want to get to and have possible discussion if time allows. We'll just see how the time goes. That'll determine whether I expound on it tonight or whether I take a few minutes and discuss it at the end of tomorrow night's show. I'm going to break what the reported news is. At this point, it's not quite official until tomorrow. Also, a Tigers update will happen then. So, about this weather thing, we've been placed under a flight risk for severe weather. All those in Southeast Michigan have been placed under either a marginal or slight risk. Marginal is second lowest. And then slight is third lowest, and we're on that slight what this is about is wind, possible winds gusting in excess of 70 miles an hour, heavy lightning, possible local flooding, localized flooding. No, not everything's going to flood, just possible like localized type as the ground is dry in many locations. So just be on the lookout. It's predicted to be greatest chance between about 7 p.m. and midnight. And then after that, it'll be a nice rest of the week. Highs in the mid to possible upper 80s, 80s on a couple of days. And partly sunny. So after tonight, we'll be back to pretty close to just a little bit warmer than your regularly scheduled August programming. As they say, your early to mid August, I should say, early to mid August, regular. All right. So about Wednesday night, the reason I had to cut it short was because I was at a restaurant. My food had gotten there, and it was a good pulled pork sandwich. And yeah, they had some good stuff there at Bad Brad's down there in Orion Township, about a mile north of I-75. Now, about this past weekend, so Friday I went to Higgins Lake, and of course Higgins Lake is always a nice area every time I go up there. Generally, I'll go up there once every couple of years. Some years we go to Higgins and Ludington. Other years we just go to Higgins. Sometimes we just go to Ludington. It all depends. But I went to Higgins. But on the way up there, we went to this place in Houghton Lake called Little Boot Diner. Have you heard of it, don't it? Little Boots Diner? What it is it's this really good diner, and they have a lot of your diner favorites, the fish, the chicken sandwiches, the burgers, and all that kind of stuff, the Mexican stuff, the fries. But they serve you your beverages, other than water, of course, in these cups that are literally shaped like boots. Especially at the bottom. Literally shaped like a boot. It's called a boot cup. And in mine I had root beer. What? Where? There's a little boot thing is on the bottom too. But this place is really neat. Like I said, it's in Houghton Lake, couple miles east of 127. Mind you, we came in from the 75 side. You can get in there from 127. But it was because my mom met me in Bay City. And then I went with my mom up there. And, of course, my mom is from Houghton Lake. But we went up there and very friendly, very good food. They say, what more can you afford? Next time I'll have to make sure I go at breakfast time so I can see these pancakes that are believed to be the size of your head. And apparently they have really good blueberry pancakes from what I've been told. You do?
Yes. Can you all say yes?
And then, so yes, I went there and I had me the shrimp and fries, but someday I have to get the blueberry pancakes. Even from Cadillac, it's only like 35 minutes or something. And if it's just over an hour from there, might not be that much longer to take a little out of the way. You know what I mean? Who knows? I just might at some point because it was a nice place. And in case you haven't noticed, listeners, my infatuation with diners has really grown, especially since like 2018, as even Big Boy, I find, isn't quite the same as these diners. It's really not, is it? Like even the place in Toledo, that was a lot more of a diner. Yes, that place in that Schmucker's down there in Toledo, home of really, really, really good pies. And mind you, listeners, I told you last week about Alex's Railside moving into the Midland Mall old Ruby Tuesday location. Also, Circus Time Snacks had opened up yesterday. I had verified that they opened up. I will not endorse their stuff yet. Why, you may ask? Because I haven't had it. Normally, like even on the radio, I get it online. Radio could be different, but technically, you're not supposed to endorse a product that you haven't used. You've heard that before, haven't you? And so, even though I get it, it could be different because it's online, I don't feel like I can endorse Circus Time yet because I haven't had it. And I have been hyped about it since I heard about it, that it was opening up there in the mall, in the Saginaw Mall food court. I'd heard about it a couple weeks ago. A month ago I had heard about it. It was supposed to open August 2nd, but it ended up being the 9th because there was a couple of things that just weren't quite ready, as they say. They just weren't quite ready there in the food court, and I'm being careful. I'm not going to endorse it because, like I said, I haven't had it. I know I've heard some really good things. I mean, I've heard they have a lot of nice things. Like, even their elephant ears are, like, it's like a dollar for an elephant ear. Isn't that crazy? But like I said, I'm not going to endorse it. I had it. So soon I have to. But like I said. So now. I want to encourage you, listeners, And I'll get into this in the teaching too. But I just really have this in my heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God's on our side. He always is. And if you're afraid of the virus, if you're all worried about it, it's amazing to me the amount of people that just continue to live in fear and be all afraid and keep themselves as prisoners of war. Cases are actually going down. They're not going up anymore. They like they had been for weeks, a bit over a month. Like today, in several of the states, that state to the south of us, North Carolina, Florida, among others, all three of them had Monday totals that were the lowest since the 1st of July in the case of North Carolina. And that state to the south. But for the case in Florida, it was the lowest since June 20th. So basically a week after I was down there. And the amount of deaths, which had been going way up, which had been going up, but not to the level in March and April, they're starting to go back down. And even in these places like Florida, you're not seeing the amount of people in the hospital that you were before. And I think that we're going to see a lot of things revealed behind a lot of this, behind a lot of what all has happened in America in regards to all of this. But we always have to remember, you know, that God is on our side. I think God is doing some things. I think that for God's people, the end of 2020, the beginning of 2021 is going to be glorious for the people of God. I still believe it. I still believe God for it. And I stand on the Word of God. I'm told to believe the Word. And I just put my trust in God about this. Also, you may have heard me mention Farr's Law before, maybe not. F-A-R-R, apostrophe S. There was this guy, the last name of Farr, back from the 1800s. Remember I told you about him before, remember? And this thing is, and this thing says as viruses mutate with each mutation, though at times they might spread more and things of that nature, over time they become weaker. So each time that they mutate, they get weaker. That's why, although we may have had more cases with this go around compared to the one in, you know, March, April, you didn't have the same amount of people dying. that, and it goes with even what couple. And this isn't a face man saying this. This is true science, not brought to you by the propaganda machine known as the fake news media. Oh, no. I thought I got a better one. The fake stream. Fake stream. Because usually you always hear a mainstream or lamestream. I like fake stream even better, don't you?
Yeah.
The fake stream. They'll all tell you, all these different facts and figures, not realizing the true reality and what actually and what happens over time with this Fowler's Law thing, which is that one mom might have more infections, he doesn't have as many. That's because of Fowler's Law. Eventually, get to the place where you don't have as many. But God's on our side either way. God is totally on our side, and it's good to see that we're starting to head in the right direction. Cases are going back down. You have a lot of places where schools are opening up remote only. You have other places where it's an option or blended, meaning what's part online, part in person. At least we have more of our kids going back to school for the first time since like March 16th, March 17th, when basically every state in America shut down its schools. Basically every one of them. And the way I look at it, we have to get our kids back to school when it's time for school to start in the local area. Now, I know those of you with kids in Michigan, for the most part, you guys got a couple weeks yet of summer. But school cometh. And unfortunately, too many districts have waivers to start before Labor Day this year. That's a different issue that I'm not going to get into. But I would if it was up to me, I would totally do something about it. What would you do to all those waivers that all these districts have gotten to start early? You would throw them in the garbage, right? What do you mean probably? I would throw them out because I would make it so that you couldn't get the waivers unless you were bona fide year-round, meaning you've been year-round for a couple of years. Because especially after all this, like if it was up to me next year, I'd basically mandate the 12-week summer across the board for the kids. I would. You know what I mean? Because like when I was younger, the couple of years that we had it, while I was still there, like the after Labor Day, I tell you, the 12 weeks, I needed all 12 of them. Did you feel the same way? Like you needed all 12? And there was one time it was 11 weeks. You probably had that happen to you too when you were in middle school, and you were like, oh, 11 weeks, not enough. You felt the same way, didn't you? You felt like, okay, I guess I'm ready. But in another way, it's like, not quite enough. But like I said, that's a whole other thing. But just remember who's on our side. All right. Now. I know I want to remind us all of our three homework assignments. We're supposed to read Psalm 23 out loud every day. Read Psalm 91 every day. And then at 12 noon, take authority and curse the coronavirus. And curse that thing. Curse the corona. Bless the Lord. If you don't know what to say, how to curse, you could just say, in the name of Jesus, corona be gone. Corona be gone. Corona be gone. Get the idea? That's a good one. It almost sounds like a song, doesn't it? Corona be gone. Sounds just like Coron the Moron, although maybe better. I like them both to be. But corona be gone is better because it means like corona be gone or corona, that, you know? Someone actually made a song, Corona Be Gone. Don't it? I have to show it to you later. It's pretty hilarious. But anyhow, it's pretty neat. This thing had come out back in June. Either I had watched it in June, or June was when it came out, or both. Because I remember I'd watched it like a week after I got back from, what is that, noon, or looking up to heaven and cursing the virus. And if you have to set an alarm so you remember, do it. I have my alarm set. I could be anywhere and someone would be like, what is that thing? And then I hear it and it's like, oh, that's right. Just yesterday morning, 12 o'clock, church got out just a few minutes before. I was the only phone that I heard going off. My mom, she said she heard a couple of vibrates and then this little ding. But, of course, mine's I bet you know why I picked that one, because it's bold. You figured that, didn't you? I wish there was a way to put an amp on it so that it just makes it all the louder. I know, right? You could hook it up. You could hook it up to the Walmart thing, and so that you're in Walmart, and then you're in Walmart. It's 12 o'clock, and then the thing goes off. Okay, you don't have to do that, but I'm just teasing. But you say, well, Miracle Man, you're funny a lot of the time. Well, as I say, listeners, I believe in a Bible verse that supports it. The Bible says, merry heart and laughter doeth good like a medicine. Various doctors, including Christian doctors, have told you, they've said that you got to have a good laugh every day. You have to have a good, it's important to have a good belly laugh every day. We're going to sing couple songs, and then we are going to open up to the word of the Lord, and we're going to talk about David and Goliath and how God is out there fighting for us. So for the next bit, you do, I mean, I, whatever I do where I'm at, you do whatever you are. I sing, you sing. I pray, you pray. When I open my Bible in a few minutes, you study with me. If I lift my hands, you do the same thing. Praise God. Now we're going to enter in to worship. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. There's nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, you are my desire. Nothing else will do. You're nothing man to hear me say that I'm your friend. Help me find a way, lead me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I'll lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else will do. There's nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Lead me back to you, Lord. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you, I need. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near.
Sing this chorus.
And I'm desperate for you. Oh, and I'm lost without you, Lord. And desperate for you, Lord. And I'm lost without you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Yes, Lord. This is how I fight my battles. Yes, it is. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, Lord. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles, Lord. This is how I fight my battles. 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 How I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I win my battles. This is how I win my battles. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're always with us, that you fight our battles with us. That even though it may look like we're surrounded, but we are surrounded by you, Lord Jesus, and we give you honor and glory and praise for that tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that though the storms of life, they come, they beat on us. They may be beating on us. They may be just hammering us and just going after us with everything they have. But you, Lord Jesus, you're always there for us. You're always there making a way for us. And we're surrounded by you, Jesus. And we're so grateful that you're always there. You're always there for us. You're always just leading us, guiding us. And we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for that in Jesus' matchless name. Thank you for the word that will go as it goes forth tonight. And as we study your word, may these listeners receive everything that you want them to. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. And I make my confession over this program, Lord, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that huge amounts of finances come into this program, increases in listenership come into this program, And most important of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you for a great harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. I'm sorry about that, listeners. Oh, and in case you heard what time my clock said, listeners, let me just reiterate that it is not Slurpee time. It is not Slurpee time. It's not July either. It's August. Just had to reiterate it. And by the way, it's the 10th, not even the 11th. But open your Bible with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12. So we're opening it up. Where we start with today, Saul is, at this point, Saul is already king. Of course, Saul is not a good guy. And then of course, David is among the Philistines. Goliath is. But David is from Israel. He's not a Philistine. So we're going to Chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Praise God. 17. I don't know what I was looking at back there. I didn't mean 12, I meant 17. 17. Just give me a second to find it. No, it's not my first rodeo. Now, the Philistines gathered their forces for and assembled at Socoh in Judea. They fetched camp at Ephes. Jeremiah between Socoh and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another. And the valley with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor with bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was sprung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 100 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, then we will become your subjects. And if I overcome him and I kill him, you will become our subjects and will serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On evening, the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Philistines were dismayed and were terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judea. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was old, and he was well advanced in years. Israel's 3 oldest sons, I mean Jesse's 3 oldest sons, had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening, and they took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take the sephah of roasted grain and these loaves of bread for your bronze and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their, and see how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Ephraim, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and sent out. As Jesse had directed, he reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were wrapping up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies. He ran to the battle lines and he greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, he stepped out from his lines and he shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage. And he will exempt his mother's family from taxes in Israel. And David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And they repeated to him what they had been saying, and they told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. And when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him, and he asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave these few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now, what have I done? Said David. What have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and will fight him. And Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord will be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and he tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I can't go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch with his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield, bared in front of him, and he kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, puffy and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God, capital G, in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." And the Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag, taking out a stone. He slung it, struck down the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine, killed him. David ran and stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine's sword, flew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and they ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines by the entrance of Gath, to the entrance of Gath, to the gates of Ekron. And the head were strewn along the Shurim road to Gath and Ekron. And when the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered the camp. David took the Philistine's head and he brought it to Jerusalem. He put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. And as Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistines, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" And Abner replied, "As surely as you live, O king, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and he brought him before Saul. And David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you?" said the young man. Saul asked him. David said, "I'm the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." Now, Saul, what you see here is David. I mean, first what you see here is you have Goliath, who is this huge, macho guy. He'd be like Macho Man. Macho. 9 feet tall, huge, like in every way imaginable. And he's giving his usual defiance, his battle cry. Israelites are doing their battle cry. Philistines doing their battle cry. They going out there. David was at that point. David was a shepherd boy. A shepherd boy. His father said, basically said, "David, go check on your brothers and give me back some assurances. And so he told his dad, okay. Because here and there, because though he was normally near Saul and all that, once in a while he had to go back and forth to take care of the sheep. Because he was the shepherd. And he was the youngest of Jesse's 8 kids. But David comes back, you know, to his brothers and that, and to Saul, and all that. But Saul didn't, at that point, Saul had to ask Abner whose son he was. But this was after David killed Goliath. But then David comes before David. He was before Goliath. And Goliath is sitting there. He's coming out. He's giving his defiant scream that he always does. He's doing his little war cry. And he basically says, he cursed David. And he says, "You come out with me." And he says, like, "Who are you? Look at that. You're down with the bird. Does it give you to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field?" That's what the Goliath said. But David says, you know, "You come before me with spear and javelin. I come before you with the Holy Ghost." And he took him down with stones. Threw the stones in his head. The Holy Spirit with the stones. He used the stones and the sling and threw it in his head. And it knocks him right down. Now, it was because of God, ultimately, that he was able to do that. It was because of God that he was able to do that. It was because of God that he was able to do it that easy. Because first, Saul tries to give him, you know, the all these big pieces of body armor and all that kind of stuff. And David tries them on, walking around in them for a few minutes. He's walking around like a calf looking at a new gate. And he's just walking around the gate trying to figure it out, you know, trying to figure out his new boundaries and that. And he says, I can't go in these. And so David just decides to improvise, and he uses the thing, the stones and the sling. And the sling just goes round and round and round and round and round, and the stone goes in the sling. Sling comes tumbling down. And David did that. And God wants us to be giant killers. And some of us, I mean, we all go through stuff, but some of us have faced giant circumstances, and we've had to defeat them. And when you're going through something huge, you have to give it to the Lord, because David couldn't have taken down Goliath on his own. Not without God. Without God, Goliath just would have totally ransacked David, and David would have died right there. He would have died right there. Now, some Bible thing called the Babylon Bee. They decided to kind of make a parody to it, and in it, they tried to say that Goliath did not die from David. They said that he died of COVID. Pretty funny, isn't it? They claim that Goliath died of COVID-19. Mind you, this would be COVID-19 BC. 1019, something like that. And the joke is, behind it is that the Philistines did not wear masks. They did not distance. They just went around like everything was normal. And yes, David's out there, and David is doing everything. He's taking him down. But they claim that it's actually COVID that takes out Goliath. It's actually COVID. Whereas Saul, who was leader of Israel at the time, he ordered a lockdown. Everyone was wearing masks, social distancing, and they came to the battle too, but according to this, they're all 6 feet apart. And probably only like 20% of them are out there at a time to keep sure that, you know, that the requirements are met. Well, the Philistines are just all standing there, and they're all grouped, and they're all together, no masks, no distancing, no nothing. And then And then Goliath is sitting there, you know, the headache from the thing, that takes him out. And that Goliath, Zara obviously coughing, and all that, well, David's out there fighting. It's Goliath that could choose COVID. Now, we all know that there was no COVID at that time. David killed Goliath. The power of God was on him. He was led by God. God showed him the right way. So David could not get used to that equipment. And trust me, if you go into battle, you've got to have the right, you've got to have the very specific right equipment to use. Are you equipped with the Holy Spirit? Are you equipped with the helmet of truth around your waist? The breastplate of righteousness? Do you do great exploits for the kingdom? You do great exploits. You see, the church isn't even doing exploits. Figure that out. The church isn't even doing exploits. That sounds pretty funny, doesn't it? Yeah, you're supposed to do exploits, but you're not even doing exploits. But you're supposed to do great exploits. You're supposed to do great exploits. So, obviously, if you're going to win the battle, you got to have the right armor. You got to have the right armor. Because no one goes in to a battle without the right equipment, without the right know-how, without the right things in order to win. I mean, ball teams know this, but so many of these teams are so competitive, especially at the pro side, you get. Even at the high school, you get a lot of these rivalries where both teams, you know, have this many wins. They're both like 7-0, 8-1, you know, 10-1, something like that, a piece. And then at the game, either one can come out and win, and it's that close. And it could come down to this. This one was just a little more prepared. Maybe he had all that know-how. Maybe they both had the great coach. Maybe they both had the right equipment, you know, the right, in their body, they had the right speed. And they knew, but it was just one way, could have just been a little more, just exercised it a little better. But you see, with God's on our side, God will help you. And God wants us to be these great giant slayers for God. And when God's on our side, we can win the battle. I have to remind you, though, if you're not winning the battle in your mind, you're not winning the battle. Period. End of argument. If you are not winning the battle in your mind, you are not winning the battle. You can thank Dr. Barclay and Dr. John Osteen for that. John, not Joel. So you'll have to go back 20, 25 years more. Also, Dr. Buckley says it. But if you're not winning the battle in your mind, you're not winning the battle. And That's just how it works. And God wants us. And God wants us to be that giant killer. In my life, we've won many battles over my lifetime. Through all those healing miracles, all those surgeries. And for me, especially when I was little, every time I'd have a surgery, it was another battle. And sometimes it was rougher than other times. And the one time, my heart stopped partway through a 21-hour surgery. That wasn't even supposed to be that long. It was not supposed to be 19, 20, 21 hours. It wasn't supposed to be that long of a surgery. But Ivan said, you know, the angels are going in there with me, and I know everything is going to be fine. And that really brought courage to my mother, because my mom, obviously, I don't think she was allowed to go in the, she was not allowed to go in the operating room per protocol, because even back then, you know, mom, you know, the mom couldn't be necessarily in the operating room. I mean, they'd get updates from time to time. You know, here's how Rivers is doing. And obviously, I'm sure when I came out of there, I was super tired. But obviously, my mom was so delighted to have her son back, being me. And God has always been so good to me. Four different times, the spirit of death tried to take me out. It lost all four times. And the devil's going to keep losing. The devil cannot have me. The devil cannot win in my life. He's going to continue to lose. The devil is defeated. He will lose again and again and again. And you don't have to be afraid of that giant. You got to have that courage to just be able to stare that thing in the eye. Stare that Goliath-sized giant that you're facing, stare it in the eye, look at it and say, I come at you with the Holy Spirit. I come at you with Jesus. Whatever that circumstance is, whatever that thing is that you're dealing with, that's standing there screaming at you, whatever that thing is, could be a health condition, it could be a lot of different things. Right? And then you got to speak life to it. To that, whatever that thing is you're dealing with. Life to your house. Life to your children. Life to whatever that thing is. And you have a, you take authority. And you're going to win over that Goliath. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word tonight. I thank you that these listeners would just take this word to heart. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we would just, you know, that we would, that this word would just stay with us and go with us. Thank you that you, Lord God, are using us to be the giant killers that you've called us to be. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, the Tigers did a good job against the Royals. They won 2 out of 3 games. I mean, excuse me, against the Pirates. They won 2 out of 3 games. They started again, playing another series tonight. And many of the next games are going to be clear indicators of how they could be. And so far, the Tigers aren't looking too terrible. They could do better, but at the same time, they're not doing too terribly. Not too bad. Not too bad. That's a good way to put it. They could do better in some areas. Cabrera's hit a couple home runs for him. Good, which is good to see. Even though he's getting to be a little bit older, still showing that he can have an impact on the team. College football. Sources right now are reporting that the Big Ten will reportedly announce tomorrow that the Big Ten, I mean, that the 2020 fall football season has been canceled. And the same thing with the Pac-12. Reports right now say that the Big East and Big 12 are on the fence. The SEC is actually looking to get bigger so that there'd be even more teams in it, which could be different. The way I see it, I think the football players deserve to play at some point, even if it is in the spring. Like, maybe if they had a March, April, May season. I just have to think about the calendar. 6th. 13th, 20th, 27th, 2nd, no, 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, May 1st. That would just be, the listeners, all that math that I was just doing was about those Saturdays and spring 2021, and taking into account, assuming that there would be like 9 conference games, I think maybe they could pull that off. But then you say, what about those graduates? Congratulations. So they could maybe have it in like, then I would do the championship, the bowls on Memorial weekend. Then I'd have a 3 month, they'd have like give them a couple weeks of rest. And then, after which, they'd have to get back to getting ready for the fall season, which would, next year, assuming there's no more COVID, because if that was the case, they would go back to more normal. I think something like that could work for this year. I think they need to have a season in the school year 2020 fall, in the school year, even if it's not in the fall. That's the way I see it. All right, folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.